Today we have the privilege of studying Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Yudchet, the 18th chapter of the Second Chronicles. We saw yesterday how chapter 17, Perek Yud Zayin, describes the educational infrastructure that Yehoshaphat, the fourth king of Yehuda, establishes throughout the kingdom of Yehuda, sending out teachers to various cities, and he is credited with very positive reviews for this accomplishment. Perek Yudchet, chapter 18, which we're going to study today, integrates material from the story in Sefer Melachim into this portrayal of Yehoshaphat. Of course, it wouldn't do if Divrei Hayamim gave a totally different take on Yehoshaphat than Melachim. And so here we have one passage from Melachim that is integrated into Divrei Hayamim. Melachim, as we know, concentrates heavily on Malchut Yisrael, the northern kingdom. And this is a passage that describes the relationships between Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, and the northern king of Israel, the king of northern Israel, King Ahav. Ahav in Melachim is a central figure. He is, of course, credited with introducing idolatry to Israel by means of his Phoenician wife, Izebel. He certainly brings in Phoenician-type idolatry into Israel. And he is related by marriage to Yehoshaphat, as we see in the very first pasuk. A daughter of Ahav is married to Yehoshaphat, or a granddaughter of Ahav. Pasuk Aleph, Vayhili Yehoshaphat Osher Vechavod LaRov. Yehoshaphat had wealth and honor greatly, or had much wealth and honor. Vayitchaten LaAchav, he married into the family of Ahav. And now we're told how the relationship between Ahav and Yehoshaphat progresses, and how this leads to the death of Ahav, while Yehoshaphat himself avoids death. This is the story of the final battle of Ahav at Ramot Gilad. Pasuk Bet. Vayered leket shanim el Ahav leshomron, vayizbach lo Ahav tzon vakar larov, vela'am asher imo, vayisitehu la'alot el Ramot Gilad. Yehoshaphat went down to Ahav at the end of many years to Shomron. There Ahav slaughtered in his honor small animals, large animals in great number, as well as for the people who were with Yehoshaphat, and then he incited him to go up with him to Ramot Gilad. Now that passage, he incited him to go up with him to Ramot Gilad, is an addition of Divrei Hayamim. It reflects the negative evaluation of Ahav and the positive evaluation of Yehoshaphat, and that Ahav here is inciting Yehoshaphat to do something wrong. Ramot Gilad is the site of many battles between Ahav, king of Israel, and the kings of Aram. It is the border area roughly parallel to where the Golan is today, and far, including areas farther east. And the question is, does this belong to Ahav of Israel, or does this belong to the kings of Aram? And it's therefore in battle over and over and over again. And so the introduction is in Pasuk Gimel. Ahav makes the first introduction. Will you go to war with me? Vayomer Ahav Melech Israel El Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. Hatelech imi Ramot Gilad. Ahav, king of Israel, said to Yehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me to Ramot Gilad? And Ahav and Yehoshaphat replies, Vayomer lo, Kamoni chamocha cheam ucheamcha ami v'imcha bamilchama. He said to him, like me, I will be like you. My people will be considered under your control, and I will be with you in war. Very nice, but does that? But as we see in Divrei Hayamim, there's great importance attached to the prophetic inquiry before going out to war, and Yehoshaphat here insists on such an inquiry, both here and in the parallel passage in Sefer Melachim. Here, Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Yehoshaphat al Melech Yisrael, Drosh nach hayom et dvar Hashem. Yehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, seek out this day the word of God. Pasuk Hey. Vaikbot Melech Yisrael Tanevi'im Arba Meot Ish Vayomer Alehem Hanelech El Ramot Gilad La Milchama Im Echdal Vayomru Ale V'yiten HaElokim V'yad HaMelech. This verse 2 appears in Melachim, and it describes how the king of Israel inquires of God by means of his court prophets whose loyalties are primarily to the kingdom and the kingship and to the royal court, and they are not independent prophets who speak in the name of God. King of Israel gathered the prophets, 400 men. He said to them, shall we go to Ramot Gilad to war, or should I stop? And they say, go, and may God give victory into your hands, O king. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Yehoshaphat, Ha'ein po Navi Lashem od, V'nidrasha me'oto. Yehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet to God here that we should ask from him? In other words, Yehoshaphat recognizes that these prophets are not ones who have primary loyalty is to God. He treats them with a sort of jaundiced air, asks that they that he inquire of a genuine prophet, and Achav is reluctant. His response in Pasuk Zayin reflects this. Vayomer Melech Yisrael el Yehoshaphat, Od ish echad lidrosh et Hashem me'oto, v'ani senetihu ki einenu mitnabe alai letova, ki cho yamav lera'ah, hu michayu v'nyimla, vayomer Yehoshaphat al yomar ha'melech ken. The king of Israel said to Yehoshaphat, there is remaining one last man through whom one can inquire of God. Now there's a recognition here that the other 400 prophets are not ones through whom one actually inquires of God, but rather that their position in the court obligates them to give the answer that they think the king will require of them. Now getting back to the description of Michayu ben Yimla in this pasuk, Va'ani senetihu, I despise this one remaining prophet from whom one can inquire of God. Why? Ki einenu mitnabe alai letova, ki cho yamav lera'ah. He doesn't prophesy upon me for good, all his days he prophesies evil. His name, Michayhu ben Yimla. Yehoshaphat objects to the king of Israel's characterization of Michayhu ben Yimla as unreliable and consistently negative. And he says, Al yomar ha-melech ken, don't speak this way of him. Achav causes Michayhu ben Yimla to appear, and during this episode, while Michayhu ben Yimla is being called, Melech, we're told in Pasuk Tet that Achav and Yehoshaphat are seated in a sort of state ceremony. Pasuk Tet, Umelech Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda yoshvim ish al kiso melubashim begadim v'yoshvim begoren petach shar shomron. The king of Israel, as well as Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, were sitting each one upon their own throne, dressed in robes, in other words, in state robes, sitting in the threshing floor, and that is at the entrance to the gate of Shomron. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And in this episode, while they're waiting for Michayhu ben Yimla, one of the other court prophets, the prophets whose primary loyalty is not to God, named Tzidkiyahu ben Kanaana, tries to show in a very direct and forceful way how successful Achav will be should he go to war against the Arameans at Ramot Gilad. Pasuk 10, Pasuk Yud, Vayas lo Tzidkiyahu ben Kanaana karnei barzel, Vayomer ko amar Hashem be'ele tenagachet Aram ad kalotam. Tzidkiyahu ben Kanaana made himself horns made out of iron, and he said to Achav, Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore Aram until they are defeated. This type of action is taken, this type of rhetoric is taken up by the other court prophets, and upon which Michayhu ben Yimla is summoned. And Michayhu ben Yimla's very first statement in this chapter is his promise that he will only act as a channel of communication between God and man. He will not give the answer that the king wants, but rather he will give the answer that God requires of him. Pasuk 13, Vayomer Michayhu, Chai Hashem, ki et asher yomar Elokai oto adaber. Michayhu says that the Lord lives, that which my God tells me, I will speak. And the emphasis here on Elokai, my God, my loyalty is to God. The king then brings Michayhu. Michayhu was asked the question, Pasuk Yudaled. Vayavo el ha-melech vayomer ha-melech elav. Micha, hanelech el Ramot Gilad la-milchama im echdal. Vayomer, halu v'hatzlichu v'inatnu v'yedchem. Michayhu comes to the king and is brought to the king and says, and the king says to him, Micha, should we go to war at Ramot Gilad? Or should I stop? And Michayhu answers, go up and succeed, and may they be given into your hand. From the tone of Michayhu's answer, the king clearly understands that Michayhu is mocking him. Pasuk Tetvav. Vayomar elav hamelech, ad kama pe'amim ani mashpiacha, asher lo tedaber elai rak emet b'shem Hashem. The king says to him, how many times have I caused you to swear that you should will only speak to me truth in the name of God? In other words, the king says, I recognize that you're bamming me. I recognize that this is not really what God is prophecy is what God is communicating to you. Please give me the true communication from God. Pasuk Tetzayin, Michai, who gives the true communication from God that he has been commanded. Vayomer, Ra'iti et kol Yisrael nefotzim el ha'arim katzon asher ein lahem ro'eh. Vayomer Hashem, lo adonim la'ele, yashuvu ish leveito b'shalom. Michai, who says, I have seen all of Israel scattered upon the mountains like sheep who have no shepherd. God says, these have no master. Let each one go to his house in peace. In other words, this is a prophecy of doom. The leader of the Israelite army, Achav, will himself die in this battle. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayomer Melech Yisrael Yehoshaphat, Halo amarti elecha lo itnabeh alai tov ki'im lera. The king of Israel says to Yehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that this guy Michai, who would only prophesy upon me badly and not well? In other words, the king of Israel is dissatisfied whether Michaihu prophesies positively, he knows it's false, and when he prophesies negatively, he's dissatisfied with the negative message. Michaihu then continues and gives the full extent of his prophecy. Psukim Yudchet through Kafbet, I'll read them through, and then I'll translate all of them. So 18 through 22 now. Vayomer lachen shim'u dvar Hashem, ra'iti et Hashem yoshev al kis'o v'chol tzva ha'shamayim omdim al yemilo u'smolo. Vayomer Hashem, mi yifate et Achav melech Yisrael v'yal v'yipol b'ramot Gil'ad. Vayomer ze omer kacha v'ze omer kacha. Vayetze haruach v'yamod lifnei Hashem v'yomer ani yifatenu v'yomer Hashem elav b'ma. Vayomer etze v'hayiti l'ruach sheker b'fi kol nevi'av. Vayomer tifate v'gam tuchal tze v'asechen. Ve'ata hinei natan Hashem ruach sheker b'fi nevi'echa ele, v'Hashem diber elech alecha ra'a. Michaihu says, therefore, hear the word of God. I have seen God sitting on his throne, with all the host of heaven standing on his right and his left. He said, God said, who will entice Achav, king of Israel, so that he will go up and fall at Ramot Gilad? Each one of the assembled hosts offered to do so. Different plan. Zeomer kacha v'zeomer kacha. Each one offers a plan for how to entice Achav. And then one spirit gives an answer. Pasuk 20. The spirit offers. The spirit comes out and stands before God and says, I will entice him. God says, how? And the spirit says, I will go out and be a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all his prophets. God says, you will entice him and you will succeed. Go and do so. And now, behold, Michaihu says, God has given a false spirit in the mouth of all your prophets, and when God has in fact foreseen upon you your doom. Vashem diber alecha ra'a. God has foreseen that something evil will happen, something negative will happen to you. The king of Israel, nevertheless, is not convinced. There's a negative interaction between Tzidkiyahu ben Kenana, the leading court prophet, who attempts to make who makes those horns of iron and says all kinds of positive things which are false. Tzidkiyahu ben Kenana attacks Michaihu. Michaihu says, your attack is going to help. Someday you will be in great trouble. You now foresee great things, but the day will come when you will hide in a room and be totally without power. And Pasuk 25, King of Israel says, imprisons Michaihu. He tells Michaihu he imprisons Michaihu and orders him to be given rations of prisoner. This is similar to the story of Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu was also imprisoned for speaking the word of God. And in Pasuk 27, Pasuk 26, the king orders that he be given these, that Michayahu be imprisoned and be given very limited rations until the king of Israel returns in peace. Pasuk 27, Vayomer Michayahu, Im Shov Tashuv B'Shalom, Lo Diber Hashem Bi. Michayahu says, if you will return in peace, if you, the king of Israel, return in peace, that is evidence that God didn't speak to me. In other words, my prophecy's truth rests on your not returning in peace. Pasuk 28, the war is joined. And here the point of the narrative is to show how directly the king of Israel is attacked, how Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, who goes with the king of Israel to war, is not attacked, but rather it is God's plan that the king of Israel die in this war. Pasuk 28, Vayal Melech Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda al Ramot Gilad. They go together to Ramot Gilad. Vayomer Melech Yisrael al Yehoshaphat, Hitchapes v'vola milchama. King of Israel said to Yehoshaphat, get dressed up and come to war. Ve'ata levash begadecha. King of Israel, the Hitchapes here should be understood as it's an infinitive verb, but it usually could be used as an imperative, but here the king of Israel is implying, without stating, that he himself will get dressed up in war, in unusual clothes. He will not wear his usual clothes. But he says to Yehoshaphat, you wear your usual clothes. Sort of an attempt to trick fate here. The king of Israel is certainly aware that his doom has been foreseen. He can't bring himself to admit this. He imprisons the harbinger of the one who speaks his doom. He imprisons Michayahu and he goes to war nevertheless, wearing false clothes and thinking that the false clothes will protect him. Vayitchapes melech Yisrael vayavohu b'milchama. The king of Israel wore false clothes and they came to war. Umelech Aram tziva et sarei harechev asher lo lemor. Lo tinachamu et hakaton et hagadol ki im et melech Yisrael levado. The king of Aram had commanded the officers of his chariotry, saying, do not fight against any small fry or any large commanders in the army, rather fight only against the king of Israel himself. Pasuk 31, Lamed Aleph, Vahi kirot zarei harechev et Yehoshaphat, vehema amru melech Yisrael hu, vayasobu alav lehilachem. When the officers of the chariotry of the Aramean king see Yehoshaphat, they thought he must be the king of Israel. They surrounded him to fight against him. So Yehoshaphat now is bearing the brunt of Achav's trickery. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the end of the Pasuk, Vayizak Yehoshaphat v'Hashem Azaro, Vayisitem Elokim Mimenu. Yehoshaphat called out, God assisted him, and God incited them away from him. So whereas at the beginning of the chapter we have that same verb, Vayisitehu, where Achav incites Yehoshaphat to go to war, here God's protection is expressed in the same language. Despite the fact that Achav incited Yehoshaphat to go to war, God deflects the threat from Yehoshaphat. And Pasuk Lamed Bet, Vayikirot Zarei HaRechev, Ki Lo Hayah Melech Yisrael, Vayashuvu Me'acharav. When the officers of the chariotry see that he was not the king of Israel, they turned away from him. How does the king of Israel finally die? Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'ish mashach bakeshet letumo, v'yachet melech Yisrael ben hadivakim uven hashiryon, v'yomer larakav, hafoch yedecha v'hotzeitani min hamachane ki hacholeti. A man drew his bow unknowingly, innocently, and he happened to hit the king of Israel between his shoulder blades, where the armor did not protect him. In other words, the bow that was drawn innocently carries an arrow that hits the Achilles heel of Achav. It hits him right where his armor doesn't protect him. Achav says to his rider, the rider of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the camp because I am become ill. Pasuk Lamedal, Vatal HaMilchama Bayom Hahu, the war becomes stronger. Umelech Yisrael Haya Ma'amid Bamerkava Noch Acharam Ad Ha'arev. The king of Israel was standing in the chariot. He made the effort to stand in the chariot facing Aram until evening, and there at evening, Vayamot le'et bo hashemesh, there at evening he dies. Now in Melachim we're then given the rest of the story of how the king of Israel's blood goes into the pool at Shomron, and the dogs lick up his blood, fulfilling the prophecy that God delivered to Eliyahu. Here that whole issue is left out. The point of this story is to show that while Achav incited Yehoshaphat, Yehoshaphat's good deeds protected him. God protected Yehoshaphat, and Yehoshaphat was not killed in this war, despite the fact that he was dressed in royal clothes and the king of Israel was not. So this is another stage in the glorification of Yehoshaphat.